We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Lynch here.
Hey, and I'm Patrick Harris.
You probably like baseball, which is why you're listening to this. This is the Hot Corner Podcast.
Well, I kind of like baseball. I guess I'll tune in.
Baseball's pretty neat, so thanks for listening. This is brought to you by your local Les Schwab Tire Center.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Woo, baseball!
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them.
Baseball spoken here. It's time for the second game of our radio doubleheader.
That is a reviewable play, but the Yankees choose not to review it.
A swing and a drive to deep right, away back, off the pole, Francisco Lindor.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch, a deep dive on baseball and the hottest topics in sports.
It's 2-2 in the bottom of the sixth, and I just can't get my eyes off that man with the tall head.
It's quite a game, but man, that guy is ugly. You know that guy hasn't blinked this entire game? Just a dead-eyed idiot out on a Thursday afternoon.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch.
We're going to be awesome for you right now.
On 1080.
Hey, one for one. That's batting 1,000, dude.
That's baseball, baby.
Help us. Please, somebody help us.
The Fan.
Yeah. Hey, I remember
syrup sandwiches. Hour 2 of 2 here on the Hot Corner. Have I been saying Sports Sunday? Or am I saying the Hot Corner? Did I say it once? It's such a habit of mine.
I'll check the tape.
Because when I said it last break, going into the break, I went, wait, have I said Sports Sunday?
I didn't even realize that you said Sports Sunday.
I don't know if I did. I could be just in my head about it, but for some reason, because I keep wanting to say it and I haven't been saying it. Patrick's out. That's why I'm talking first. And that's why I get confused, because I host Sports Sunday and co-host this show, so I don't need to worry about it on Wednesday nights, but I do on Sundays. If you do not listen on Sunday mornings, do so. 9 to 11 a.m. Rashad and I and Jesse talking all the sports.
Look at you work a plug in there.
Although I'm out this weekend, so you won't hear me if you listen on Sunday.
So maybe don't listen this week. Enjoy
listen to Rashad
enjoy
and Jesse.
Your Memorial Day Sunday morning.
You can listen to Rashad and Jesse.
And then
I'll be back the week after.
Tune in for the first Sunday of June.
Yes. in hour one, we discussed the Rays' strategy of using their bullpen. We also did our fantasy grind segment and talked about how I have no idea how to survive in the wilderness. So if you want to hear any of that, and by the wilderness, I mean anything even closer resembling nature. don't get it twisted. Camping, no. If you want to hear any of that, it is going to be on the Les Schwab Tires podcast on 1080thefan.com, where you can find all of the podcasts.
I suggest yurt camping, Mike. A yurt is at least like an indoor facility.
Can I just get like a nice RV?
Well, yeah, I guess. That's more glamping, if anything.
For a guy who has never camped, let's go from never camping to glamping if we're going to make that transition until I commit to actually camping.
You watch Parks and Rec, correct?
Yes, I finished Parks and Rec.
There's an episode where they go camping and Tom buys all the stuff off Sky Mail. It's like siphoning off the power from someone's truck to run like an ice cream cone machine, a TV, Xbox, has like a Roomba with an iPod dock on it.
He has the best camping setup of all time.
That's what you should do.
Yeah, it's actually, not to get too far off track, but it's going to happen. one of my old college friends tweeted this today. I'm going to pull it up real quick. He asked the question. I think it's a pretty easy answer, but I want to see your thoughts having watched both shows. Better supporting character. Feel free to text into fan text line 55305. Jerry Terry Jerry Gary from Parks and Rec or Creed from The Office. Who is a better supporting character?
I don't know. It's going to be hard to not say Creed.
Really? Because it was easy. I said Jerry. Easy. Easy. Because Creed's got his good one-liners, but Jerry or Gary Gergich or Jerry Gergich or whatever they called him, actually was a major part of certain episodes. He was a supporting character, but his storyline mattered. He had the hot wife for no reason and all of that stuff. So Whereas Creed is a mysterious character who sits in the corner and honestly hasn't really been a supporting character until the middle of The Office. He was kind of just like there. He was one of the random people in the back that said like one word now and then. Jerry was a part of the show the entire time. So that's why for me, it was Jerry was easy.
Okay.
Easy.
I understand.
I remember seeing his character in a real serious movie once and I went, shut up, Jerry.
No. Can't do it.
You're going to be Gary Gergich or Jerry Gergich the entire time.
Yeah. And again, gosh, we're on this train track and I can't get off it. Do you watch It's Always Sunny?
No. Oh. I have seen It's Always Sunny, but I do not watch It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. There's one character, one of the McPoyle brothers, who he tried to do a serious show and it's like, I can't get into your character, man. I have seen you do some very obscene, obscure things on It's Always Sunny. And I can't shake that from my mind. I'm sorry. Can't take you seriously.
One text says Creed all day, every day. A lot of people like Creed. I never cared about Creed. So, apologies, Office fans, but, he was not my character of choice. All right. Before we go fully off the rails, the Atlanta Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies are currently first and second in the National League East. The Braves are a half game up on the Phillies, by the way, Wednesday? I guess now after their three-game series, unless they play again tomorrow.
I can't believe you asked that question.
Oh, I know. Don't worry about it. My brain's all over the place. The Braves and Phillies are in first and second. Two teams who we thought were going to be in basically third and fourth in the NL East. We thought the Marlins would be the worst. We thought it'd be Nationals one and then probably Mets two and then Braves, Phillies, some combination down below that with the Marlins. But so far, they're both playing exceptionally good baseball. They both have young, exciting talent and they're in first and second place respectively. So are the Braves and Phillies for real? And to me, the answer is, for one team, an absolute yes. And for the other team, a probably not. I think the Braves are for real. And I think the Phillies they're peaking earlier than I expected them to. Not to say that they won't continue to get better, but I don't know if this is going to last. Remember, it was, might have been last year, 2 years ago. I think it was the White Sox. Started the year like 32-18.
Yeah, I remember that. And I don't know if
they fell off the face of the earth. The Reds did last year too. They started really well.
I don't know if they got that many games into the season with that good of a record.
Was it the White Sox? I can't remember.
It was the White Sox. Yes, I remember it was the White Sox because this is when driving in to the show tonight, that's who came to mind. I was like, wasn't that the White Sox? Yeah, it was the White Sox last year that started off great. And then, yeah, but I didn't think they lasted 50 games into the season. I felt like it was more like the 30 game mark.
It might have just been the 30 game mark. But to me, I kind of feel like the Phillies are like that, but just in a better situation because the White Sox were not good. The Phillies, I think, can be good. So I guess let's start with the Phillies because that's kind of just naturally where I went there. The Phillies are an interesting team that has, if you look at their depth chart, if you look at the players that they're playing, a lot of guys who are highly regarded that you've never heard of before, which I think is the interesting part about them. I feel like the Braves, maybe it's just the attention they're getting, but the Braves have young guys up who we know. The Phillies, I mean, even though he was a big name in fantasy, do we know who Reese Hoskins is? Their big hitting, I guess he was a first baseman, big hitting corner outfielder.
He did something last year.
He had a lot of home runs, but he came up.
Didn't he have like a 4-home run game or a hit for the cycle pretty early?
I don't remember, but maybe.
That's why I've recognized the name is because he did something last year that was a big deal.
Odubel Herrera, who's been solid in center field. You might know him if you're a hardcore fantasy baseball or hardcore baseball fan like we are, but you don't really know who Odubel Herrera is. Do you know who Nick Pivetta is? No, I don't think so. He's one of their good young starting pitchers. Do you know who Vince Velasquez is? Probably not.
It's a no for me, Bob.
I know him because he used to be a prospect for the Astros. He was traded to the Phillies in the Ken Giles trade. I think we talked about that trade last week, oddly enough. In the Ken Giles trade, he's crazy. Like, he's 10 strikeouts a game, but gives up like four runs as well. He's all over the place, but he's got a lot of potential. He's got a really nasty curveball. You don't know a lot about the Phillies players.
Rhys Hoskins, he was just on a tear that when he came into the league last year. The reason why I think I remember is because of hot and cold, honestly. He was like looking at stats. He tore off a ton of home runs within his first 15, 20 games last year when he got called up. So,
Cesar Hernandez having a career year for him at second base. He's been playing really, really well. So there's all sorts of guys on the team who are playing well, but I don't know. Maybe it's just like a bias because I just haven't heard of these guys as much as some of the others, or I have, but I haven't seen a lot of attention paid to them. But I, for whatever reason, I feel like it's going to come back down to earth a little bit. A, you've got the Nationals chasing you, and they're only a couple games behind you, the Phillies, in second place. And B, the Nationals are better than the Phillies are. Well, the Nationals are still the best team in the division, to be fair. But I definitely think that they are better than the Phillies. So I'm not sure the Phillies are for real. Joe, you said you found some Fangraph stats about these teams.
Yeah, just looking at different categories, just mattered to me. The weighted runs created, which like factors in ballpark. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it. It's one of those saber metrics, but like stolen bases, the Braves, I think, lead the league in stolen bases, or top 10 in the league in home runs, or top 10 in on-base percentage, maybe even top 5. There is a lot of different categories I was looking at least offensively, that had Braves in the top 5, and if they weren't top 5, it was top 10, and the Phillies were right around the middle of the range park there.
All right, so Fangraph's analytical stats helping prove my point there, but on the flip side of that, with the Braves, I think I'm one of the first people who said it. No, at the station, I'm one of the first people who said it. I think the Braves, I said it like in early April. I was like, I think the Braves are good, guys. I think they're really good. And what's funny is they kind of are. They're kind of really, really good. And they're doing it with a pitching staff as a whole that is not exciting one bit, but with a lineup filled with good young players who are hitting really, really well and are all kind of playing together at the right time, getting really, really big clutch hits. I think that they're a special young team that could very well win the division or make the wild card out of the NL East. So I'll talk about the Braves a little bit next. This is the Hot Corner on the Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
This text in the Fan text line, 55305, says, it's all Mets now. They got Bautista. They're unstoppable. Why is Jose Bautista back in the league? Why? Why did the Braves bring him up? Why did the Braves cut him and then the Mets immediately sign him? What? Why? What is his value?
He looks really hot.
No, he does not. He has weird, patchy hair, and he's still a jerk, and he's bad flipping. Come on now. You don't need Jose Bautista back in baseball. We don't need Jose Bautista back in baseball unless we just need someone to hate. And then maybe we do need him back in baseball.
NL East, how about that? The division of old disgruntled dudes who are past their primes. Matt Harvey now on the Reds.
Well, that's the Central.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I'm going to say the Mets, the home of old disgruntled dudes.
Yeah, I guess so. They go from one to another, yeah.
I saw the...
there you go.
There was a tweet that was like, this team would have been so good in 2005. It's like Bautista, Adrian Gonzalez, Drubal Cabrera, Jose Reyes.
Yeah, sign me up.
All the guys that I like to make fun of.
15 years ago.
They're still playing okay, I guess. So we're talking about the Braves. Now, the Braves, unlike the Phillies, in my opinion, are for real. The Braves have two young players hitting really, really well since they've been called up. One was called up last year, and another one who was hitting well before he went on the DL in Dansby Swanson. So the two I'm talking about are Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr., of course, who was the top prospect in baseball who got called up. Acuna hitting just .250 now, but still has 4 home runs. He's got 7 doubles. He's got 12 RBIs, so he's on base plenty. His on-base percentage is is 313, so he's still 63 points above his average. He's been impactful in the lineup, but Ozzie Albies, whoa, he's hitting 280, which, I mean, fine, but he's got 14 home runs from the second base position, 34 RBIs, and not to mention six stolen bases. He's a revelation. I remember looking at him early in the season and going, I don't really know who this guy is. I don't know if he's going to be any good. Well, I was wrong. He's been awesome. Not to mention that Nick Markakis is having a resurrection year. Your boy, hitting 344. Freddie Freeman is Freddie Freeman. He's hitting 324. He's got 9 home runs, 35 RBIs. Like I mentioned, Swanson was hitting 270 before he went on the DL. Ender Inciarte, who started the year abysmally, is now hitting 267. He has 18 stolen bases himself, by the way. Acuna, all guys in the lineup are just clicking on all cylinders. Even Kurt Suzuki, who is a light-hitting catcher, has 6 home runs this year.
Hey, and I see another former Oriole, Ryan Flaherty. Only 100 at-bats, but still, he's batting 368, or on-base percentage is 368,
right? Oh, yeah, Ryan Flaherty. Forgot about him. Preston Tucker, 89 at-bats, 270. You know, they've got a good little team. Good little team. When you think about it this way, I mean, we're just kind of naming players, but think about it this way. Ozzie Albies leading off, Acuna hitting second, Freddie Freeman hitting third, Markakis hitting fourth, Swanson hitting wherever, fifth.
Now, is Swanson on the DL?
I believe he is still on the DL. But we can double check that. And then Inciarte has been moved from the top to the bottom to be one of those turn the lineup kind of hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Top six? I don't want to face that. Are you kidding me? That's a good team. It's a mix of old and young. It's not all young. It's a mix of old and young. And like you were saying, the Fangraphs, from what you're reading for the two teams, the Braves look good in all the stats that matter compared to the rest of the league.
Yeah, let me pull up a couple here. So they're second in the MLB in average, just batting average, behind Boston.
Okay.
So that's pretty solid.
We know Boston can hit the ball.
Yeah, on base percentage, they're third in the MLB behind the Yankees and the Cubs. The wins, the weighted runs, you could probably describe the stat better, but they are fourth in the league in that.
I don't really understand it, but okay, that's good.
It's from what I was reading, is it's basically runs created, and they're weighted to the factors of like the ballpark, the weather, just anything that can affect the game, you know, rather than just them scoring runs in like Colorado, batter friendly park. So
gotcha.
It takes all factors into it. So, and they're fourth in the league in that, a very low strikeout rate as well, so they don't strike out a whole lot. Lead the league in stolen bases. That's probably because of
Inciarte with 18.
Yeah. And then I want to say that they're top five in home runs as well. So they have a lot of offensive categories where they're top five, top 10. And if you look at the Phillies, they're kind of scattered in the middle of the field there.
I'm looking up, don't make this a question, fair or foul. I'm looking up stolen base leaders to see if 18 is the lead. Oh, yeah, it is.
I was going
to
say, you would think it's got to be.
I'm
going to guess who's, or at least the next closest number, isn't even double digits.
Oh, it is. There's only two behind him.
Ah, okay.
D. Gordon has 16.
Ah, well, that lead might increase.
It goes, I'm sure. Inciarte 18, D. Gordon 16, Trey Turner 13, Whit Merrifield on Kansas City 12, and then a large group at 11, including Mike Trout and Gene Segura and Tim Anderson.
Look at me really underestimating steal numbers.
I know. Year. From what I've watched in baseball this year, teams are stealing much more frequently. I'm not sure if it's the catcher's arms aren't as good, or the pitchers are taking too long, or they just got a lot of fast players, but I'm seeing steals left and right.
Creating runs. Get your guy in scoring position.
Oh, you mean like old school baseball?
Yeah.
You mean the thing that people stopped doing because they thought it was stupid?
Well, sounds like a good idea, but we'll see how it works out for these
guys. Right. Maybe like sacrifice bunting a guy over when you want him to go to third. Like maybe
sacrifice.
Right.
I'm not gonna sacrifice my batter, sir. How dare you?
I've just noticed a lot more steals. Like Whit Merrifield stole third like 3 times against the Yankees this past week. So he is those kind of plays are going. So I think the Braves are really, really good. My concern is the pitching staff. I mean,
yeah, I literally was trying to come up with a pitcher in my mind, and I couldn't.
Well,
do they still have Henson Volquez?
No, they've got four starters who have pitched like basically the whole season. And then they've got that fifth spot has kind of been filled by a bunch of guys, although it's going to be Soroka, their top pitching prospect. When he comes back off the DL, will be the fifth guy. Julio Teheran.
Okay.
Mike Foltynewicz, Brandon McCarthy, who's still pitching, and Sean Newcomb, who was a good young pitcher last year. If you remember, he came up and pitched pretty well.
And he has.
He's pitched well.
Yeah, it looks like he's pitched pretty damn good this year.
But he and Foltynewicz have an ERA under 3, but McCarthy and Teheran are over 4, which is not good.
New.
And the combination of the other guys who have started, their ERAs are all around 3.5-ish, although Soroka has a 1.29, and he's on the DL. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. I'm a little bit nervous about the bullpen, just because it's a lot of names I don't necessarily trust, but their ERAs are all fairly low in the 2s. So good enough for that bullpen. And they do have a pretty decent closer in Aroldis Vizcaino as well, who has a 2.49 and has 9 saves in the year. So maybe I'm undervaluing their bullpen and their starting rotation, but that's what makes me nervous. I think it's better than the Phillies by maybe it actually no, that's not true. I think the Phillies rotation is better. But I think it's good enough to keep them at the top or near the top of the NL East. So Braves, in my opinion, full reel. Coming up next, it is time for Fair or Foul. But first, Joe has SportsCenter.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
Just with Lynch today. That music means it's time, or and Joe, of course. This music means it's time for Fair or Foul. Just me today. So, Joe, if you'd like to participate in your own opinion-based questions, feel free. You're going to know the answers to the stat-based ones, so you can't have fun with that. But, right. Yeah, Fair or Foul, let's go.
All right. So, we talked last week about Robinson Cano getting hit with the 80-game suspension. And things have somewhat kind of not fallen apart, I would say. But then Nelson Cruz is dealing with the elbow. You got D. Gordon. He just went on the 10-day DL. Mitch Haniger, he injured his wrist, getting hit by a pitch.
He's fine, though.
Is he, Mike?
It was like a bone bruise or something. Not even a bone bruise. They said day-to-day. He's fine.
And this is where I ask you.
And Gene Segura also got hurt, too.
Well, there you go. Leading to my second time that I've asked you, because I think you know where I'm leaning on this. Fair or foul, the Mariners will not be above 500 when Robinson Cano comes back from a suspension.
I'm still going to say foul.
All right. This is the last time I'll ask you.
Look, the Mariners, despite all of this, are still a good team this year. Look, I said this last week. Anyone who's listened to the show for the last few years knows I love to poke fun at the Mariners. It is so funny to me to poke fun at the Mariners, and it's low-hanging fruit, I understand, but it's funny to me. I love it. So hear me when I say this, and you can laugh at me if I'm wrong later in the year. I don't think the Mariners are bad. I think without Robinson Cano, they have enough good players. Haniger's fine. I think Segura's fine. They have enough good players. They've got a decent starting rotation. They've got a decent bullpen that they can be in the wild card chase all the way up until the end with the Angels. In the American League, we know it's going to be Yankees, Red Sox, Indians, Astros, and then it's probably going to be a fight between the Angels and the Mariners for that last wild card spot to play the AL East loser, quote unquote, the team who's in second. I think that will continue for most of the season, if not all of it, for the Mariners. So I will say foul. They will not be under 500 when Cano gets back.
All right. Like I said, it will be the last time I ask you, and you stand by that.
I stand by it.
I say...
I'm not going to flip-flop, Joe.
I say fair. I just feel like the Mariners will become the Mariners. But hey, June is coming up, so you got Janino to look forward to.
Month of Janino's coming up.
Yep.
And look, what John said to me today on the phone, we always talk baseball before he goes on primetime, is he said, they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. They just keep winning. If you're doing it with smoke and mirrors and winning and your team is still good behind it, then you're going to keep winning. And without Cano, whatever, they got good enough hitters to keep it going when it's not smoke and mirrors. So I know they're cursed. I know they are easy to make fun of sometimes, but I really don't feel like that's true this year.
Mike Leake and Felix Hernandez both with above five ERAs. 10 starts.
They're also 9 games above 500.
And their Pythagorean theorem record has them 15 best in the MLB, all right?
Okay.
Pulling out some real saver metrics.
I don't know
here.
What that means.
I know. It was just in a Fangraphs article.
Their record based on a triangle.
All right, so we move to our next one. As I mentioned, you got two pitchers for the Mariners with above five ERAs. So bad pitching in Seattle. But is the pitching worse for Cincinnati, fair or foul? Out of qualifying pitchers, the Reds have bottom six pitchers in ERA in baseball.
Whoa. Three of the bottom six for the Reds.
In ERA this year.
Yeah.
Is it that atrocious?
I'll say fair. They have a couple of guys who are starting to turn it around a little bit. Luis Castillo, the one I'm thinking of. But they are an atrocious pitching team in general. And they've had enough guys who have started enough games who I would imagine would be qualifying to be at the bottom, so I'll say fair.
Tis fair.
Nice.
Yeah, they are that bad. even though Luis Castillo is turning around, as you say, he has a 5.61 ERA.
Correct. He had 7.92 like 2 weeks ago.
Right below him, some dude with the last name Romano.
Ah.
Can you guess the first name? Do you know it?
Ray?
It's an S.
Everybody loves him.
Close. You're very close. You're one letter off. Of course, his name is Sal. Sal Romano.
It basically should be a character in Everybody Loves Raymond.
He has...
Ray and Sal.
He has a 5.62 ERA.
What was the brother's name in that show? I always thought he was so funny. The big guy with the deep voice.
Yeah, I don't remember.
He was so funny.
I am one person that did not love Raymond. So that show title was false. And then last for the Reds, Homer Bailey, 6.11 ERA.
You know, I thought about it, and I thought he pitched better than that, but no, that makes sense.
Yeah, maybe he needs to try batting with a name like Homer.
Joe. Joe.
That was a good one, you have to admit.
I mean, it was a dad joke. I'll give you that.
All right, and moving on to our last one. I saw this earlier, and I even mentioned it to you. What the hell is going on with the Diamondbacks?
It was Robert Barone.
Robert.
Yes.
That's right, Robert.
Diamondbacks.
Yes. Thank you.
Sorry.
Throwing me off with Everybody Loves Raymond character names. God. The Diamondbacks, they've lost 7 in a row. On ESPN, they do their last 10 games, which they are 1-9. But you say they've lost 13 of their last 14?
I saw 12 of 13, so I'm assuming that continued today. I'm gonna do a quick math. Oh, my God.
Just L.
They went from 24-11 to 25-24.
Wow.
So they are 1.
Yeah, that's...
1-13. Yeah, so they've lost 13 of the last 14.
And they were good last year.
Yes.
So... fair or foul, the Diamondbacks will not make the playoffs this year.
Wow. Well, what's interesting is, despite this stretch, remember they won like their first 9 series? Despite this stretch, they're still 1 game back in second place in the NL West. So I will say foul on that one.
And you know, I'm not big on these early postseason questions, you know, like yeah. There's still like 80, 90 games to go, whatever math. But yeah, I'm curious.
I think they'll turn it around. I mean, this is a bad stretch. Teams will have bad stretches, division. Not this bad usually, but they'll have bad stretches.
Bad division too.
It is a bad, that's what I'm saying, is they're still a game over 500 and 1 game back of the Rockies. That's how good of a start they had.
And the Rockies, they have a negative 25 run differential.
Yeah.
Leading, and they're the number one in the division.
Yep.
Wow.
So I'll say foul. I think the Diamondbacks can turn it around and make the playoffs. Keep an eye on the Dodgers. They they've got a plus 13 run differential. I know that they're six games below 500, but the division's not good. So only 4.5 back. Giants are playing well right now too, which is interesting. So any team can make it, but I'll say the Diamondbacks can still do it. I still like their starting rotation with Greinke and Corbin and Godley and Robbie Ray when he goes back from injury. I think it's very good. Still like their lineup a lot. I think, like we talked about earlier in the show, Paul Goldschmidt will be able to turn it around. So I'll say foul. I think they'll make the playoffs.
I will say foul as well because I believe they just got Jake Lamb back as well.
They did, off the deal.
Rake Lamb. And yeah, Goldschmidt, I mean, he's not terrible. He'll probably pick it up. And,
I mean, he's really good. He's just playing really bad.
Yeah. So I didn't even know Robbie Ray was on the DL. So I think the Diamondbacks, and the fact that they've lost this many games and they're still a game back, I mean, I think they're not fretting too much right now. They're 4 or 5 games back. I mean, they gave themselves somewhat of a cushion. Now it's gone, but yeah, I think Diamondbacks will make the playoffs. That's it.
I got one for you.
Oh. Throw it at me.
So I was just looking at the stats because he only gave me one stat today. I was just looking to see what you could have asked. Are both, or fair or foul, both Andrelton Simmons and Scooter Jeanette are in the top 5 in their respective leagues in batting average?
That's fair because I know Andrelton Simmons, who usually isn't good at batting, he's known for just being a fielding shortstop, he is actually hitting the ball quite well this year. So I will say fair just because I know that.
Well, that was a risky fair, but you're right.
Yes.
Simmons is 4th, 328, and Scooter Jeanette, 328 as well.
How about that?
Up to 3rd in the National League. I had no idea.
And what did Scooter Jeanette do last year?
4 home run game.
That's what it was. Okay.
With a grand slam in the 4 home run game.
Gotcha.
I do remember that one. Can you name the leaders in home runs in both leagues right now?
Ooh. I almost want to say Machado is leading the AL with 15.
No. He is tied for 2nd with 15.
Ooh. And then in the National League, honestly, I couldn't tell you. Come up with a guess.
Mookie Betts, 16, leads the American League.
You know, that was probably the safe guess, but I wanted to give Manny some love.
Manny and JD Martinez tied at 15.
Oh, Juan Dulio.
Yes. Bryce Harper back in 1st with 15 in the National League. Oh, Ozzie Albies, 14 in 2nd place.
How about that?
Yeah. There's some extra fun stats for you in fair or foul. Well, all right, coming up next, last segment of the show. Maybe we'll talk Home Run Derby. Maybe we'll make it up. That's Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
This is the Hot Corner with Harrison Lynch on 1080 The Fan.
All right, final segment. Thanks for hanging out today, tonight, this evening. Whatever you want to call it. Patrick's been out. Just me and Joe holding down the fort. Talked a lot of baseball in the first 2 hours of the show. Discussed the Rays bullpen strategy. We did fantasy grind as well as detailed my inability to be outdoorsy. That's all in the first hour. We also talked about the Braves and the Phillies and did our fair or foul segment. That's here in the second hour. You can find those on the Les Schwab Tires podcast on the 1080 The Fan website and on the app to listen to at your leisure.
Man, if that
after
is,
the show.
If that isn't the sell for this show, a baseball show, we talked about the Rays, the Phillies, and the Braves today, and we're not even in June.
That's a great point.
I mean, if you want true baseball talk.
Yeah, we are a...
And we weren't even fully manned today. We were one down.
We are a baseball show to the core.
Yeah.
We do not discriminate. We do not focus solely on the Red Sox or Yankees, even though I like to throw some Yankee stuff in here every now and then.
Hey, they're polarizing. I think Yankees are going to get talked about no matter what.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who they are, so...
But this is what Patrick always says, and I agree with him. Mostly, is he hates the off-field stuff. He wants to talk about what's happening on the field. He wants to talk about teams that are good and bad and stuff like that, strategies, all that kind of stuff. He doesn't want to talk about the off-field stuff. I mean, last week, a little bit notwithstanding, it was an important show with Cano being suspended. But I'm in agreement with that. And if you're a baseball show built around baseball, you should be comfortable talking about the Phillies, the Braves, the Rays, whoever, as long as it's relevant. You know, you can't just throw them in there because it's not like, ah, we're going to break down the Reds this week. That's how much of a baseball show we are. Although you threw some Reds into your fair or foul today. But as long as it's relevant, yeah, absolutely.
And plus, I like poking fun at just atrocious stats, you know, like Lomo last year batting. Well, I guess it wasn't last year. It was the year before when he was batting like 067 in August.
Who is
those statistical anomalies are always fun to me.
Who is the worst batting average for a regular this year?
Like someone who qualifies?
Yeah.
Yeah, who is our Logan Morrison this year?
Let me look.
It might be Chris Davis, honestly. He is down there.
It is Chris Davis. Whoa.
Like
I
remember looking last week and I was like, "Uh-oh, he's getting to that Lomo territory here."
Okay. This needs to be discussed. There are two players who are starting players for their teams who are both tied for worst batting average in baseball of qualifying players at 154. Chris Davis with a C and Cole Calhoun, who's just amazing in the field and miserable at the bat this year.
That's right. I was actually going to throw him in my I think I was going to throw him in fair or foul last week and try and throw you guys off the scent of how bad he was doing. I was going to be like, hey, Otani's taking all the attention, but what about the other Angels? Cole Calhoun, second in batting average for the Angels? Huh?
I would have said foul in baseball. 154? What?
So Chris Davis.
Davis is 25 for 162 with 65 strikeouts. At least his on-base percentage is 230. Cole Calhoun's is 191.
At least?
Well, I'm just comparing it to the 191 of Cole Calhoun's. Oh, my God. Right,
yeah, in those standards, yes, Chris Davis is better.
You think maybe you should take Cole Calhoun out of the lineup, Mike Socha?
You think you maybe should have never gave Chris Davis that contract extension, Baltimore Orioles?
Oh, yeah. Oof, I forgot about that. How much is he getting paid, like $20 million a year?
I don't want to know. At this point, I just don't even want to know.
You shouldn't have said that. I'm going to look it up right now, Chris.
It's probably going to be along the lines of like Jordan Zimmerman, just absolutely atrocious and getting paid at least $20 million a year. At least $20 million.
Here's a headline from 2 days ago.
Chris Davis.
Chris Davis's $161 million mega deal spiraled into MLB's worst contract.
There you go.
Whew.
Pen drop.
All right, here's Sport Track. They have all the if you're ever looking for salary details, Sport Track tracks it really well. This year, Chris Davis.
Oh God, here we go.
Is making $21 million.
Hey, like I said, over $20 million. Is it a backloaded or front-loaded contract?
Every year is exactly the same.
And it goes until when? Like 2023.
Yep, 2022 is the last year.
God.
When he's 36 years old, it has been. There's no backloading every year since it started in 2016. $21.118 million.
Oh, and we're going to definitely handle this Machado situation perfectly because Orioles already have at this point, right?
I was reading that.
It's gone swimmingly.
I was reading that the value of third baseman on the market, which Machado is going to be included in some sense, is much lower than many thought. And that if the Orioles do trade him, they're not going to get back as much as they probably could have if they did it in the offseason, even though he's hitting really well.
They're so dumb.
Part of me expects them not to trade him and just let him walk.
Watch. That's probably what's going to happen at this point.
I mean,
I'm getting into that Mariners mode where I'm expecting the worst out of everything at this point. We had the fun ride for a few years, and now it has definitely gone to S.
I kind of want that as a Yankees fan, because then if he goes to the Cubs, they're probably going to want to agree to a sign and trade. Sign him.
Stop.
But I like Machado.
Stop.
I like Machado. He's a good player.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Third base is a little bit of a hole, and Duhar's good, but not as good as Machado.
I don't know. I pray he goes NL. That's all I'll ask.
Hey, the Cubs don't need him. I'll tell you that much.
No. No.
Can you guess the other four players who are hitting under 200 at this point in the season?
Off the top of my head,
One of them is a fairly easy guess. He's a big power guy who never gets on base.
Joey Gallo.
He's 197.
Okay.
Another one is a Red Sox who used to be a big B and now sucks.
Benintendi?
Nope. Jackie Bradley.
Ah.
He's hitting 178. Other two are Jason Kipnis, 180. Ian Kinsler, 190. Good, indeed. Two Angels under 200. How about that? And they're still kind of good.
Imagine if they start bringing it back around.
I know. Actually, it'd be good for them. Logan Morrison, 204.
Ah,
we're still in the ballpark, baby. Still in the ballpark, baby. All right, thanks so much for listening today, guys. Much appreciated. You can find us on Twitter at 1080 The Fan. I'm at MikeLynch27. And Joe is at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H. Patrick will be back next week after his camping extravaganza in the middle of nowhere, Idaho. And we'll have plenty more baseball for you. So enjoy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. And we'll see you next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.